Hi, I'm Jay Frosting, and you're listening to Misgender. One of my closest friends is a woman named Ashley, but for the first 9 years, I knew her by another gender. I'm still adjusting to this updated reality, but it's nothing compared to what she's going through. Over the course of the show, Ashley and I discuss her perspectives on being trans and her ups and downs as she transitions. Fortunately for all of us, Ashley is a person who, when interested in any topic, researches it for a long time and becomes an expert. Of course, it takes a lifetime for any of us to learn how to be the person we want to be, and that doesn't get any easier when you're trying to reboot your life partway through. You're listening to the audio version of this episode, but we also have a video version that you can watch or subscribe to by visiting misgender.com and finding this episode, Coming Out to Myself, which was published September 3rd, 2011. So, hey, Ashley, thanks for joining us. Good evening.
It's my pleasure, Jay. I'm happy to.
You're undergoing a pretty serious transition from male to female.
As opposed to the more flippant transitions from male to female?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to set the scene.
Oh, I see.
For people who might have clicked by accident.
Oh, of course.
So, how did you come to the conclusion that you were supposed to be born a girl?
Well, I guess it's been something that I've been thinking about since I was maybe 13 or 14
okay.
Or so.
And so people know about how many years ago was that?
That was about 20 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess sort of that time around adolescence and all that. And part of it was that some of those changes didn't feel like they were quite meant for me, I guess.
When you're talking about puberty?
Sure.
Okay. Now, from what I remember of the film strips that they were showing us in 6th, 7th grade, puberty changes were pretty uncomfortable for just about everybody.
Sure, yeah.
But how would you say that your reaction was different?
I'm not sure I can speak for how other people would normally feel in this regard. But, for instance, body hair on my chest or on other areas was not something that really was that appealing to me, I guess. Or having my voice become deeper was, I mean, it could have been worse, I guess, but I wasn't overjoyed at that, I guess.
Okay. So the things that were outwardly making you look more manly were actually depressing or disappointing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see different changes happening to the girls that you knew, and were you envious of those?
That would be a fair assessment. Hmm. Yeah. And I thought, those seemed like they'd be a better fit for me. But given that I was pretty young and so on, I figured, well, I guess that's just too bad for me.
Hmm.
I didn't know any differently. I didn't know that things could be different.
Okay.
And I suppose around that time, my family got internet access. And you're probably already familiar with what Usenet is. But
oh, sure. Yeah, way before web browsers, it was the place where all the activity was.
Yeah, it was an online discussion board.
Mm-hmm.
It, with various topics from horticulture to Star Trek to physics or just
all
any
sorts
kind of
subtopics as well, as I recall.
Yeah, yeah. Usenet isn't quite what it is today, as far as today being full of spam and junk, but at the time, it was a great knowledge base of people just chatting and sharing information. And every now and then, I would kind of flip through the different groups that were discussion areas. And I came across one on transgender topics.
Okay.
And I thought, well, what's this all about? And so it
and
so
you,
happened.
You had you seen that word before?
I had not seen that word before.
All right.
just kind of based off the roots of the words, I sort of made a guess of having to do something with gender, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wasn't really, I didn't really have an idea of what that was. So it turns out this group, they posted a FAQ of frequently asked questions every month, so that when you're reading through it, as long as you either scrolled up or scrolled down within that time span, you'd come across this FAQ.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it was something that it was sort of compiled knowledge of the group, and as you would guess, frequently asked questions. So
sounds sort of like, for the youngsters in the audience, it would be sort of like a page on Wikipedia. It was collaboratively edited, though maybe not.
As far as I could tell.
Yeah.
So I read through it, just trying to figure out, okay, what is this? And I got to thinking, well, this is kind of me. This is how I can relate to what they were saying
there. For instance?
About feeling like you weren't really fitting within the gender you were given, I suppose.
Mm. And this would have been written for people of both generic genders, right? So it wasn't written towards somebody with a male background. It wasn't saying, hey, right, remember how you never really
right
had fun playing football or whatever.
Right, right, right. And it was written for probably people who were in their 30s or 40s, because I'm guessing that was the age of the people who wrote it. So it was probably written at a bit of a level some of it may have gone over my head at the time.
Okay,
but,
sure.
But nonetheless, I understood most of it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
As far as other things that I could relate to, I guess this is something that I've often had as a feeling, but I've had trouble putting into words, that I feel like it's almost like I'm someone pulling the strings of a marionette.
Oh.
That I can make the arms move and I can make the head move, but it's not me. It's just okay. It's like a puppet that I'm controlling, but it's not, you're not seeing the girl behind the curtain, as it were.
That sounds pretty frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, frustrating is probably one of the better words for it.
Okay.
And after reading that, I was, 13, 14, what have you. And my first thought was, first thought being, hey, I can, this fits in with who I am. But then I thought, my parents are never going to go for this, just because they're fairly conservative.
Did you feel at that tender age of 13 or 14 that you were really ready to announce something like that? I should have been born a girl?
Well, it was something that my first inclination was to try to fix it or whatever.
Okay.
But I didn't know what I could do, given that the various, for example, medical options require parental consent, and so given that my parents wouldn't be on board, I figured, so much for that idea.
But otherwise, you felt reasonably certain, although maybe not 100%, that you had come to the right conclusion.
Yeah, it was a gut feeling,
okay,
I'd say. I mean, it wasn't a complete certainty, but
okay,
it was maybe an 80%, 80 to 90% certainty at the time.
All right.
So one way that I kind of coped with it at the time, I don't know if this is sort of like a rationalization or what have you, but at the time I believed in God and the afterlife.
Huh.
And so what I told myself was, you might be stuck with this body now, but once you die and go to the afterlife, I could be a girl like I was supposed to be.
Huh.
That was my way at the time of holding out hope, as it were, that
okay,
eventually it would be better.
Did you have a sense of how long the rest of your life might take and how frustrating it might be to keep going?
I was under no illusions of the average human lifespan, but it was all I could do. It was all I could say to calm myself or to try to live through it.
Okay. So then what happened?
So then I graduated from high school and went off to college.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I've heard some women, trans women, describe the feeling as sort of like a toothache.
Oh.
As far as one's gender identity. That if supposing, using the metaphor of the toothache thing, if you had a toothache, that would probably think to yourself, hey, it's kind of inconvenient that I have a toothache, so you just kind of put out of your mind and think, no, I don't have a toothache. No, it'll go away on its own. But then maybe after a week or 2 weeks, you're like, oh, my tooth, it still hurts. I better do something about it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it was for me for much of college and that time period. We would kind of come and go as far as how intensely I felt my gender was mismatched.
How far apart were the waves and the crests? Would you have a toothache for weeks and then it would go away for weeks? Or was it day to day? Was it month to month?
Maybe week to week or something.
Mm-hmm.
Much like a real toothache, it was something that I was able to push through for most of the time.
Mm.
And on top of that, when I was in college, my parents helped me pay for college.
Okay.
And so even during those times where I got thinking, okay, maybe I should do something here, I felt that my hands were tied just since if my parents were to cut me off from helping with pay for college, I'd be kind of stuck.
Did you have a sense that your parents were the kind of punitive people or would get super mad / disown you?
I didn't think they would disown me. But as far as the other options, whether they would get mad or punitive, as you mentioned, some options were more likely than others. But given the magnitude of guessing wrongly, I thought I had just had to stick with it for the time.
Did you still feel in college that it was possible to just wait it out and be reborn a girl next time around?
As far as the afterlife, when I was in college, as is the case for many college students, you meet people of different cultures and different backgrounds. And so when I was growing up in Pittsburgh is a predominantly Catholic portion of the country.
I didn't know that.
And within my high school, probably 80% of the kids were Catholic. And so I was raised Catholic, and so I didn't have much exposure to other religions or cultures and so on. But in college, of course, I had exposures to probably nearly all religions.
Yeah.
And I came to realize, well, how do I know that my religion is the right one? That it wasn't long before I became agnostic.
Okay.
In college, probably maybe my sophomore, junior year.
Agnostic meaning I'm not sure if God exists or not?
Right.
Okay. And along with that goes the concept of the afterlife or heaven?
Well, at this time during college, I suppose that given that I was agnostic in the literal sense, I thought it was maybe there was still some small chance of an afterlife, but that was kind of fading in my mind.
Hmm. Okay.
As well, I still had the whole college funds thing.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of did my best to stuff into one corner of my brain, and I tried not to think about it very often.
So I guess you got to graduate?
Yes. Graduated.
Probably with honors? I love that you don't know. It's wonderful.
Sorry. I remember getting paper. And I remember not having to do homework anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, I graduated from college, and I got a job in the D.C. area.
Huh.
And so at this point, I had a salary. I was supporting myself. I had an apartment. But having been dependent on my parents for so long, I was still mentally used to thinking that I depended on them for a roof over my head and all that. It took a while to really click in that, hey, I support myself now. And
well, and you've, as long as I've known you, always been really diligent about saving.
I try to.
You're not a wastrel in any way.
Wastrel.
And yeah, I think that's from a Henrik Ibsen play.
Okay.
You will not buy something unless you know it's good, and you won't throw something out just because it gets a little bit old and that sort of thing. You probably weren't immediately stocking up on everything a person could possibly own just out of college.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And part of that was just still having that mentality of being the poor college student, as proverbially. And so it took me a while mentally just to realize, hey, I support myself, and even if my parents were to choose not to support me, there was no funds at that point for my parents to cut off. I was done with college. I came to realize that worst case scenario, I could just live on my own and I would be able to get by.
And what was the worst case scenario? Was it back to the concept of being disowned or excommunicated from the family?
I thought it was very unlikely that they would disown me. That seemed...
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, but I didn't know if it had changed over time as you got to know your parents better. Because you have a different relationship with your parents as an adult than you do with a child.
Right, right.
As a child.
But having said that, my impression was that it would turn that world upside down and they would be maybe embarrassed or upset with me.
Okay.
And
so how did you get to the point where you were comfortable coming out?
Sure.
If only just to yourself.
In those years after college, I thought about a lot of things, but among them, I thought about my faith at the time, or what was left of it, and being an agnostic at the time. And I came to, I don't want to say a belief of atheism, but a conclusion of atheism, as it were. And so that, it made me sad in some ways, just that there would be no afterlife.
Right.
That when I was dead, I would just decompose and that'd be it. But that meant that I couldn't just rationalize to myself about, well, you can live the life you want to live later when I was dead, because there'd be nothing after I was dead.
Okay. You started to get the sense then this was the only time you get.
Yeah. That you live once and that's it. So that was part of my thinking, and I suppose that one of the next, milestones or what have you was probably around Halloween of 2009. And in the weeks leading up to Halloween, I was watching some television show, and one of the female characters had her nails painted, which is completely benign. And
it's pretty mundane, yeah.
Yeah, pretty mundane. But in this particular show, I think there's some scene where she was pressing buttons on a cell phone or holding some device. But so you could kind of get a good look at them. And I got to thinking, hey, those are kind of nice. I like how that looks.
Okay.
And I wanted to try it.
What was it, you suppose, about that particular moment or shot on the TV show that made you think that when it hadn't ever made you think that before? Or was it because it was Halloween costume time?
It was probably the combination of about all those things that okay. Halloween was coming up. Mentally, I was in a place where I was able to consider those options. I didn't close myself off from things. And so it just happened to kind of work out. As I mentioned, Halloween was coming up.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, hey, maybe there's something, maybe that could work just as far as the nail polish. Because with Halloween, there aren't really any rules. I mean, correct. As far as your attire, whatever.
Were you planning to work the nail polish into a bigger costume?
Not really.
All right.
Because it was sort of, this was the first time I thought about painting my nails, and so I didn't any kind of feel for how to match it up with things. Or
in your adolescence and college days, no girl ever tried to paint your nails for you? That just happened to me. That happened to me quite a few times.
No, that, well, to answer your question, no, that didn't happen to me.
All right.
But it sometimes in college, like, it happened to my friends.
Yeah.
And I would always wish that it happened to me.
Interesting.
Because then, see, I could say, oh, this girl painted my nails. It'd be like a get out of weirdness free card.
Right. So how did Halloween go?
Of course, I mean, I bought the nail polish. But before doing so, I read some reviews to figure out which one I should buy.
Naturally, you read reviews. It's sort of a hobby of yours.
something like that, yeah. So, he's on this website called Scrangy, which I think is Scrangie.com.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there are dozens, if not hundreds, of sites that review nail polish, but I came across this one, and this particular review was going over several colors from the China Glaze Halloween set, China Glaze being the brand.
Okay.
And one of them that caught my eye was called Fortune Teller.
Mm.
And it was a black base with orange glitter.
Oh, very appropriate.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know how well it'll show up, but I have it here.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So it was Halloween themed, obviously. And I thought that sounded good to me, just since if my friends gave me the cold shoulder or whatever, or gave me a hard time of it over Halloween, I could just say, well, hey, this is, you know, Halloween colors. It's
yeah,
whatever. Not that I thought they would really, but it just seemed like the path of least resistance or what have you. Then, I mean, I still knew nothing about, I mean, I knew the basic mechanics of applying nail polish, but I ended up going to YouTube tutorials on applying nail polish, which were very handy.
Yeah.
I mean, I at the time, I didn't know that you would need a base coat, to say, two coats of color and then a top coat.
I still don't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We could talk more about that sometime if you want.
We certainly should.
Yeah. So, I watched these video tutorials on painting one's nails, and I felt confident enough to try it. So, I painted my nails, and I did an okay job. It was for someone who did it the first time, wasn't bad.
I bet.
So, I had my nails painted, went to a Halloween party that evening. Everyone was fine with it.
Okay. Did you make a point to show people, or did you just wait and see how they reacted?
It was a little of each.
Okay.
I mean, I would be grasping a cold beverage or something, and you could see my nails. People might remark on it, or I would show some of my friends, hey, look what I...
Yeah.
So that was, it was kind of fun. And after the party, I went home and I didn't take off the nail polish. Yeah, it was late. But even the next day, on the Sunday, I could have just taken it off Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked the look of it. It was sparkly and shiny.
Okay.
So I kept it, I think, till that Sunday evening, and then I had work the next day, so I took it off that Sunday evening.
Okay. Had you, up until this point in your working career, ever encountered a man wearing nail polish at work?
At my work or at any work?
Well, anywhere you've worked.
Not at anywhere I've worked.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah. So then, moving on to the weekend after Halloween, I thought, well, I kind of like this nail polish thing. Why don't I paint my nails again?
Something that you'd thought about that whole week? Or did it just occur to you a second time that next Saturday?
It was definitely in my mind the whole week.
Yeah. Because you were still having that toothache feeling, even after you graduated college, I imagine.
Yeah, there was some of that, although I'm not sure I put two and two together at the time.
Okay.
I mean, in retrospect, it seems obvious, but... Mm-hmm.
So, what is it, November 7th?
Something like that.
And I want to feel pretty nails again.
Yeah. Yeah, so I painted my nails, and I hadn't gone to the store that week, so I just had the same color. So it was just
That's seasonably inappropriate.
Yeah, it could be, but I mean, Thanksgiving's sort of orange and brown. Maybe not orange glitter, but... Yeah,
or black.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's close.
Did you just do that for yourself, or did you go out?
It was mostly for me, though... So I mean, a couple of my friends and I, we did also go out that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see that new, well, it was new at the time, the 2012 movie with John Cusack.
Yeah, I watched that, but I didn't pay for it, and I think I made the right decision.
I would have to concur, because that movie was horrid.
It was not good.
So, we went to movies, and then, obviously it's dark most of the time, and then...
Right.
After movies, we were standing outside this theater trying to figure out if we're going to go get a bite to eat or something. And one of my friends at the time noticed my nails and said, oh, you still have your nails painted? Because, of course, it was the same color.
Yeah.
So people could have thought that I had just kept it throughout the week. And I think I said something like, no, I just felt like painting them again.
Because it could have been very easy for you to make a little black and orange lie and say, yeah, yeah, I just left it on.
Yeah.
And I never chipped them all week long, which isn't very likely in my experience. And then how did they react?
Well, sort of like, all right. And that was sort of the end of it. Because they didn't really care.
Wow.
It
was, and that was unanimous? Did anybody react differently?
No one acted differently. I mean, it wasn't a big group of us. It was maybe five or six people.
Okay.
Yeah. So I knew at that point, at least, that as far as painting my nails, that it's like, oh, my friends aren't going to give me a hard time about that. So from that point forward, actually, every weekend I would paint my nails. Every Friday evening after work, I would paint them. And then every Sunday evening before going to work the next day, take off the nail polish.
When did you decide to go out and get more seasonally appropriate colors? Did you go out get some?
I think it was that
turkey
week.
Turkey colored nail polish. That's awful.
Oh God. So yeah, I did pick up a couple more colors, and I got. I mean, there. Admittedly, there are seasonal in the sense of fall and winter and so on, but they're not like turkey nail polish. Or,
yeah. You didn't feel like you needed the excuse anymore?
Wait, which excuse? The
excuse that it's a special occasion / holiday.
Oh, right. Well, no, the jig was kind of up since at the 2012 thing. Since, I mean, it's one thing the day after Halloween. It's like, oh, I just didn't take off the nail polish. But when it's like a week later, and you've already conceded that you've taken the nail polish off and put it on again the next weekend. It's not really a spur of the moment as much thing, okay. I guess. But so the next two colors I bought, one was sort of a navy blue and one was a kind of grayish silver.
You didn't go straight for the cherry red?
No, because I was still feeling things out.
Yeah.
That I knew my friends are okay with the, I mean, for goodness sakes, it's black nail polish. It's not all that adventurous. Mm. Well, admittedly with the orange glitter. But I started out kind of a colors that I thought weren't too girly, just since my friends were okay with the one color, but I didn't want to push my luck right away.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that I was painting on Fridays and wearing it through the weekend, and so when I was doing grocery shopping or going to the mall or whatever, I would have my nails painted, and mm-hmm. The other reason I didn't want to go too girly at first was because I didn't know how society would react. I didn't know if people would call me names or hassle me, or cause I don't know, because most guys don't wear nail polish,
right?
So I didn't want to push my luck too far at first.
And you've heard enough Eddie Izzard material to know that it's in the realm of possibility that you might get jumped in an alley.
We're just reading the newspaper.
Sure, sure.
Or whatever the digital equivalent is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I didn't think I'd get jumped in an alley for it, but I could see people calling me names or giving me a shove here and there, whatever, just being jerks or...
Yeah.
So I started off kind of with colors that I didn't feel were too girly at first.
Interesting. Okay. So, did you have an excuse ready for if somebody did confront you about it?
Kind of. I had a line. I didn't have an excuse. It was, I just like painting my nails.
All right.
Because at that point, if it's someone who's asking out of pure innocence, then that answer usually satisfies them.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, if it's someone who's asking to be a jerk, then there is no answer that will satisfy them. So that one was true, and it was fairly brief, so that's kind of what I went with. But it did kind of bolster my faith in humanity in the coming months as I would pay my nails every weekend, just because I was never called any names or given any hassle.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you mentioned the coming months.
Right.
You got in the habit of painting your nails through the weekend, every weekend.
Right.
And how long was it until something else happened?
Well, during this time, I was working for a company doing consulting. So I had several projects where I would spend months or weeks in faraway cities. I spent 2.5 months in Seattle, for instance, which admittedly is not such a bad city if you're getting stuck somewhere.
Sure.
And so typically I would fly out Sunday evening and then Friday afternoon, fly back home, fly back out Sunday, repeat, and so on. So they were sending me to various cities, and in the spring of 2010, they put me on a project in Springfield, Illinois, which is not a big city. It's the state capital, of course, but Chicago is really the main city in Illinois.
Ah, right.
Much of downtown Springfield is just kind of empty storefronts. And all that is to say that I had a lot of time to think to myself that there wasn't a lot to do. And so at the end of the day...
You'd already watched all the YouTube videos about how to paint your nails, so...
Yeah, I'd watched those. But on top of that, I suppose there was the time after a day at work, I would go back to my hotel room, there was time to think, but also just the time on the plane going to and fro, waiting at the baggage carousel for my luggage, waiting at the taxi waiting spot for the taxi thing. And so there was a lot of time I could think things over, and I kind of came to think once again about, hey, maybe I am transgender, and it came to the point where I did come to that conclusion that I remember, I don't remember exactly which day it was. I think it was May of 2010, but regardless of the actual day, there was a day where that evening I thought, okay, I'm transgender. So at that point, I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know how to proceed. In part because I didn't know anyone else who was transgender. So for, I guess, a month or two after that, I would have in the back of my mind, okay, I'm transgender, but I was still afraid of doing things about it just since I didn't know how my family would react, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, what it came to was I asked myself, would I be mad at myself if 10 years from now I hadn't done anything about this? And I found that the answer was yes. I would be annoyed at myself if I hadn't done anything 10 years from now.
Okay.
So I kind of Googled for local transgender groups or whatever, because I didn't know where to start.
Yeah, yeah. But you decided that you wanted to start with something local?
Well, I wanted to talk to someone.
In person?
Or on the phone. And just figure out, what are my options? How do I do this? Mm. And so I discovered there's a LGBT resource center in the Dallas area. And they had a helpline that you can call, as it were. I think it was transgender specific. I think it was on Wednesday nights. You can call this number and talk to someone.
Huh.
So it took some courage to dial the number, but I did it. I dialed it. And I spoke, and the person I spoke with was very nice. She talked with me a bit. Turns out the person I spoke with, she was also transgender. So she gave me a few ideas and so on. And toward the end of the call, she said, well, here's my cell number. If you want, we can meet up for coffee sometime. Or if not, that's fine.
Hmm.
I think that was Wednesday night. And then the next couple of days, I kind of thought it over some more and figured, well, just talking to someone's not going to hurt. I can always, I mean, it doesn't change how I'm proceeding with things. It's just talking to someone. That's what I told myself. So I called up and we met for coffee on that Saturday afternoon. And she just talked to me a bit about how she came to realize that she was transgender and how she's doing things and so on. I could kind of relate to what she was saying. So I suppose it was maybe a couple weeks after that I thought I should start talking to my friends about it.
Talking to your friends about it in the sense that...
that I would come out to them.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to get their opinion or if you were making a big announcement.
I wasn't going to tell everyone at once, but...
Okay. I didn't mean renting out a conference hall.
Right.
PowerPoint presentation, but it's a big announcement no matter how many people you're telling.
Yeah, and so part of it was that I wanted to tell our friends, in part so that I could be open with them and so on. And also just to get their feedback and ideas.
Okay.
Because I didn't know where to go from here or...
Although along the way, a lot of people had seen you wearing nail polish on a weekly basis? Or were you spending...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had been painting my nails every weekend for the last 8 or 9 months.
Now, I've known a number of straight dudes who just enjoy painting their nails, but it is generally considered a pretty solid sign that something is up.
Yeah, and that was one of the clues to me that I was trans,
right.
I suppose, in addition to all the other stuff. So the first time I came out to friends of mine, it was a good friend of mine and his wife. We went to a cafe for sort of a late Sunday lunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew I wanted to come out to both of them, but I hadn't planned out, okay, it's going to be this lunch. And it just, it was one of those things where, as we were sitting there, it occurred to me, well, they're both right here. I could just tell them.
Okay.
So once there was a lull in conversation, I came out to you and your wife, Lynn.
Yeah. At the time, I did not know that we were the first, but I am honored. Well, do you remember what it was that you said?
I believe it was, I think I was born the wrong gender.
And as I recall, I almost had no reaction. Right. Because I sort of pride myself on being open-minded.
Yeah.
But also, well, I was probably a little bit in shock.
Well, don't you end the question as if it's a question. But I don't know if you were in shock. Maybe you were. You probably know better than I do.
I can't think of any better explanation for why I didn't open up more and have questions and whatnot.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And
but I believe that my lovely wife sitting at the table there was much more verbal and encouraging at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, she expressed that, well, you're still the same person and we'll still be friends and everything. Yeah. And that you would support me, and that all meant a lot to me.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Turned out to be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we will talk more about coming out to other people.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, do you want to teach me something girly?
Sure.
To end the show?
So I have a couple products here. This first one is called, let's see, it's called Two-Faced Shadow Insurance.
Okay.
And this one is an eyeshadow primer.
Eyeshadow primer.
Right. So you know what?
Which one's eyeshadow? Goes under your eyes or on your eyelids?
That goes on your eyelids.
Okay.
Right. So one of the pitfalls, if you will, of eyeshadow is that through the course of the day, it can collect in the creases of your eyelid and look not as nice as when you first put it on.
Sure.
But that's where eyeshadow primer can come in. And so this one from Too Faced, which I should clarify, is T-O-O faced.
Oh, okay, good.
So it's not like the Batman villain.
Yeah, I was having Harvey Dent
right
fantasies.
And so the name of the product was Shadow Insurance. So this is just sort of a beige color. It goes on your eyelids.
Huh.
And then that takes a minute or two to dry. And then you can apply your eyeshadow on top of that.
Hmm. What are you doing while it's drying? Not to get too pragmatic about it.
Probably my concealer or something like that.
All right.
I should clarify that it doesn't change the color of your eyeshadow. It's basically clear. But what it does do is it helps form sort of a barrier between the oils in your skin and the makeup products.
Okay.
So it tends to help your color, your eyeshadow color, stay truer longer. It doesn't tend to collect in the creases in one's eyelids.
Right.
So, really pleased with this one. Cool. I quite like, this is
it's a keeper?
It is a keeper. It's a shadow insurance from Too Faced. The next product we have is from L'Oreal.
Ah, I've heard of that
brand. Yeah. This is a mascara.
That's what makes your lashes longer and fuller. Sure.
Longer or fuller or both.
Because you know how you're walking down the street and like guys will be leaning up against the wall and they'll say, hey, check out the lashes on her.
What? People say that? I was being that?
Sarcastic.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, that just went over my head.
I understand that it has a subtle and almost unconscious effect on the way that your eyes look to other people.
That, and it, as you might guess, depends also on the proximity to the other person. So, at any rate, so this is called L'Oreal Paris Double Extend with Beauty Tubes.
Did I hear you right? Did you say Beauty Tubes?
Yes, okay. And that's roughly the reaction I had at the time, because
Beauty Tubes.
Beauty Tubes is an absurd name for any product. But essentially, what it does is sort of a two-step thing. There's this sort of white color product, and then there's another mascara that's sort of the traditional darker.
Yeah, color. Yeah, that looks familiar. Is it two mascaras?
No, it is one product, okay. But once they are applied to your eyelashes, the two of them basically bond together and form a polymer.
Oh.
So
you're doing crazy Discovery Channel science on your eyelashes.
Something like that. But essentially what it does is you can think of it as forming a very minute plastic sleeve around each eyelash.
Ah, a tube.
Yes, a tube, if you will.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah. So the advantage here is that once it dries, this mascara will not... You cannot rub it off. I mean, you could rub your eyes ridiculously, or you can...
If you cry, will it run? Or maybe you haven't tested that.
From what I've read, it will not run if you cry.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I've...
Well, there goes that sitcom trope. Or
indeed.
Cliche.
Yeah. Perhaps for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice part, though, is that at the end of the day, when you want to take it off, it's quite straightforward to do so. You just need some hot water.
Ah.
And you can just use your fingers and they just kind of slide off. But yeah, it's a fantastic product, because normally I don't often wear mascara, just since, well, the reasons you mentioned, that you could smudge it or what have you. And that's especially irksome if you end up doing something like that and not noticing it, because that's smudged. This is fantastic, though. It won't smudge. It doesn't come off at the drop of a hat. So very cool. Pleased with this. And this awesome. Is L'Oreal products, or just drugstore products. You can just get this at a drugstore.
Okay.
The Beauty Tubes, I think this runs about $12. And the Too Faced Shadow Insurance, this is one that you cannot get at a drugstore. You would go to, say, a Sephora or Ulta or department store. At any rate, so this, the Too Faced Shadow Insurance, this goes for about $30, I think.
And how long do either of those last?
So the Beauty Tubes, I'm not quite sure how long these last, just since I only got this a couple of weeks ago.
Ah.
But I would guess that it probably lasts about as long as other mascaras.
Okay.
The Too Faced Shadow Insurance has lasted me, 6 months or more, maybe?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
But that may or may not be typical for other viewers, just since I don't wear eyeshadow at work.
Okay.
Yet.
Thank you very much for all of that and for telling us your story. We will.
Well, it's my pleasure, Jay.
We'll pick it up again soon, and in the meantime, I hope you have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Bye.
Bye.